Everyone, my name is Brad. Why don't you guys stand with us? So one of the things I love about Crossroads is the fact that we do new songs. And what that does is we're singing the same truths, but from a slightly different perspective or a fresh perspective. So we're about to teach you guys a new song that's based off of Ephesians 2, verse 4. Let me pull it up here. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. By grace you have been saved. And so I don't know about you guys, but that excites me. That makes me super joyful, because what God could have done is left me in death, left me in darkness. But instead, he brought me into life. And that's what we're going to sing about. This chorus goes like this.
You have bought me back with the riches of your amazing grace and relentless love. I'm made alive forever with you, life forever by your grace. I'm saved.
Sing that again. You have bought me.
You have bought me back with the riches of your amazing grace and relentless love. I'm made alive forever with you, alive forever by your grace. I'm saved by your grace. He brought new life, and in your loving kindness raised me up with Christ and made me righteous. You have bought me back with the riches of your amazing grace and relentless love. I'm made alive forever with you, life forever by your grace. I'm saved. You are the light that broke the darkness. You satisfy my soul when I am heartless. If ever I forget my true identity, show me who I am and help me to believe. You have
again, my sin has been erased.
My sin has been erased. I'll never be the same. You have bought me back with the riches of your amazing grace and relentless love. I'm made alive forever with you, life forever by your grace. I'm saved. says it never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love.
Thank you so much for that love. Thank you for condescending to our level, meeting us where we're at. Thank you for your son that made that possible. It's in Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, hey guys, thank you so much for singing with us. Before you have a seat, why don't you turn to the person next to you and tell them your favorite movie. Mine is Lord of the Rings.
Hey guys, welcome to Crossroads. My name is Matt. I am the campus pastor for Crossroads Anywhere, and I'm really glad you guys are with us this weekend. You picked a great weekend to attend online. We are kicking off a new series called Together. Through this series, we're going to learn how to make and keep better friends. And in my life, as I've thought about this for the last couple of weeks, I don't think there's anything significant that has happened in my life that hasn't been preceded by my group of friends, my community, my family, and the impact that they have on me. I think about the way I parent my 2.5-year-old boy, Jacob. I'd do that totally different as a result of the good guy friends in my life who were dads and went ahead of me, and I got to watch them model that behavior. I think about the ways that I've grown spiritually, and I've learned more about God, and even had the things that I've learned about God change the way I live my life, and all of that happened through community for me. The bottom line, though, is that community can be tough. So we're gonna take a couple weeks and we're gonna dive into the real life stuff and figure out how to do it really well, because the community that we keep, the friends that we have, and the friends that we make are gonna determine the trajectory of our life. And when it comes to you and me and Crossroads Anywhere, we are one church made up of communities all over the world. And we want to dive deep and actually belong, not just attend online and check a box, but actually have a team to belong to. So I wanna give you three ways that you can belong. You can get to know people and connect to people who are close to you. One is you can host. Hosting, becoming a Crossroads host, just means that you open up your house to people so they can attend Crossroads with you. Your living room, your basement, your backyard, it doesn't really matter to me. We just want you to create a space where people can come and experience Crossroads together, and you can be the epicenter of that. We give you all the resources you need, and what's really cool is we've seen a lot of great stories come out of this. We have more than 130 hosts all over the country who are doing this. I'd love for you to hear one of those hosts, Lori, my friend in Louisville, talk about her experience.
Hi, Crossroads Anywhere. I'm Lori, and I have lived in Louisville for the last 8 years. Most of that time, I've spent searching for a church home that I wasn't able to find. I love that Crossroads always felt very welcoming and inclusive and open, and I just couldn't find that here in Louisville. So after a while, I decided to start my own community, and I actually started a brave journey down in Louisville. And lo and behold, 6 or 7 months later, we started Crossroads Anywhere, which Brave actually had me set the stage for inviting people into my home to stream service. And we also reached out to Crossroads, and they gave us a few emails, and a few other coincidences happened, a little bit of God's work going on. And now we have this really strong core group of people who stream service from my apartment every week, which is really, really awesome. Because what that has done is that it's given us this deeper community where we can hold each other accountable, we can explore and we can ask questions, we can ask for prayer requests, we can pray for other people, we can learn to pray together. And it's this, I know it has grown me spiritually, it's grown me closer to God and to other people and God-centered relationships immensely in the last 7 months, which is wonderful. And my hope is that Crossroads Anywhere will allow people around the nation, around the world, to experience that same deep community with other people that I've felt, as well as that deepened connection with God. And be in touch with what he wants for us. It's kind of set me on fire in a way that's totally good to connect with other people through him.
I would love for you to become a Crossroads Anywhere host. I get excited about the potential of thousands of hosts creating communities right where they live. To do that, you can go to live.crossroads.net. There's a little button on there that says join a Crossroads Anywhere community. You can sign up, we'll partner with you, we'll send you all the resources we have. I'm excited for the potential to see how God uses us. Another way that you can connect and find friends and community at Crossroads is the Crossroads Anywhere Facebook group. Go to Facebook, just search for Crossroads Anywhere, join the group. There's about 400 of us, and every week there's new people who are posting where they live, how they attend Crossroads, and they're finding people in their cities and their towns and their neighborhoods to attend with and to start communities with. And so that might be the way that you start a team of people to start to host. And so that could be your road into community as well. The third way is that you could text us. I would be happy to help. So you could shoot a text to us at the number below, and we'll search our databases. We'll go through all the information we have, try to find you people to connect with who live close to you, who you could team up with and start creating community with. At the end of the day, we want you to to create community. I hope that that's sort of the thread that goes through here. And you're a part of a pretty big team. You know, we have a lot of team right here. Right now, I'm standing in our brand new video broadcast room. Every weekend, we have a team here made up of staff and volunteers who pour hours into creating really immersive experiences for us to experience the Crossroads Anywhere. You know, Crossroads Anywhere is an initiative of the I'm In campaign. Right now, we're in the middle of a three-year campaign journey where people are giving above and beyond their regular giving to fuel special initiatives that we feel like God is calling Crossroads to. Crossroads Anywhere is one of those. Our ability to connect and be a part of Crossroads regardless of where we live, and building this video room was a part of that effort. You know, we want our impact to extend way beyond this video room and even our homes, though God can use those in massive ways. You know, we even partner and go outside of the country. One of the places we go is Nicaragua. In Nicaragua, we partner with Compassion International, and through the I'm In initiative, we've actually adopted, sponsored through Compassion International, over 6,000 kids. I actually had the opportunity to go down to Nicaragua, meet some of these kids, see some of the schools that they are in, some of the cafeterias where they eat, and some of the sort of broken down buildings which our I'm In dollars are going to go to improve. Their living conditions, their school conditions, their health conditions. It's an incredibly moving experience, and we actually get a chance to send people who have sponsored kids down to Nicaragua to see this firsthand and meet their kids, which is incredibly exciting. And so we're gonna, in a minute, have an opportunity to watch a story from Nicaragua. While we do that, we're gonna have a time to be generous. We do this every single week around Crossroads. It's a time for those of us who are on the team to regularly fuel and be generous to the things God is calling us to. We go to crossroads.net/give. On our phones, you can set up a one-time gift or a reoccurring gift. If you're brand new or just checking us out, there is zero pressure to participate in this, although you can. We just want you to receive something this weekend. So while we do that, check out this story from Nicaragua.
In 2015, Crossroads began a partnership with Compassion International, and our community sponsored over 6,000 kids in Nicaragua, the largest single sponsorship weekend in Compassion's history. I'm In contributions are being used to take this work further, improving the lives of impoverished children all over Nicaragua, the second poorest country in our hemisphere. We are rebuilding classrooms, improving learning environments, and impacting generations.
All the money that comes from the Crossroads Church will be beneficial, like the project behind me, construction of the classrooms, improve the facilities, and it's a blessing for them because they can be in a better place.
So we're finally here in Nicaragua on the ground. Go Nicaragua's taken off. It's been an amazing week so far. We've been able to see our Compassion kids. We've been getting our hands dirty, we've been sweating, we've been being the hands and feet of God. It's been awesome just building community, not only with the folks here from Crossroads, but also in the communities of Nicaragua.
Got 100 people from Crossroads down here that are helping us physically and getting to know the people in this community. And by this relationship, this cross-cultural relationship that we find, Christ is more visible. He's exposed more and more every single day in this relationship, and that's how they can change the world here.
The life of the children is changed because their perspective to see life changes. A sponsor can inspire a child's life.
Because people declared they were in on what God is doing through Crossroads and then started the hard work of fulfilling their commitments, kids who have little hope in the world now have a real chance. And there's more to come. Well done, Crossroads.
All right, so who's in for more of that kind of transformation when we come together? I am so excited to be about that with all of you. And so if you're joining us online or if you're joining us in rooms, we're kicking off a new series today called Together. And I want to tell you right up front, we have an agenda for you over the next 4 weeks. I'm just going to be real clear about that. Because we believe that one of the things God's calling us to as a community, the most important thing that he's calling us to this year, is for us to be intentional, start being intentional, or increase our intentionality about availing ourselves to the unparalleled power of community. The unparalleled power of doing life with individuals in smaller contexts. And so at the end of this journey, where we're headed in this series, is we want all of us to engage in groups. We want all of us in here to be thinking about, what does it look like for me to maybe lead a group? And you can learn out how to do that at crossroads.net/groups. What does it look like for me to join a group? At that same website, there's a tool that's getting populated now with all kinds of groups that people are saying, hey, I want to start it, and I want to lead people into a new relationship with Jesus or grow in their relationship with Jesus. Or what does it look like for you to orient your life so that over the next several months, you're in a place where you can dive into closer community? Because the big idea in this series is just a truth that I know, and it's that lives only change through relationship. That's the only way your life will dramatically change. I have been impacted by things that I have read in the Bible. There is truth in the Bible that has completely changed my life. And yet, the change that I've experienced just by reading words does not compare to the change that I've experienced as I've lived those words out in community. I believe in the power of prayer. I have prayed, and I know people who have prayed and seen incredible things that God can only do through the power of prayer. And yet I know that when you multiply the power of prayer in community, miracles happen. We've seen it time and time again throughout the history of the church, throughout the history of this church. So there is power in community. That is how lives change. In fact, it is true that our relationships have the potential to literally change the world. And today, you're going to see that play out. So the first half is going to be me kind of setting up the series where we're headed and why we should personally be investing over the next 3 weeks and 4 weeks and answering some questions around where we are in relationships. And then I'm going to be joined on stage by partners that help us in the work that we do around the world. And we're going to see the power of relationships at work right before our eyes. So really cool and exciting day as we go in that direction. So I just know that in this series, we're buying into something. We're buying into a belief that God moves and works through relationships. One pastor that I respect, Anlie Stanley, said this: your friends determine the quality and the direction of your life. Isn't that true? Think about how you would quantify the quality of your life right now. I bet you the circle of friends around you are either adding to that number or detracting from that number right now. Your friends are determining in large part, the people you do life with are determining in large part the quality of your life. And I don't know what it is you're heading for right now. I don't know what your focus is, but I bet you that your circle of friends is influencing that focus. For some of us, they're positively influencing us to run after healthy things. For others of us, we know we should be going after this healthy thing. And if we're honest, the people we're spending time with, they're not helping us achieve that. Your friends determine the quality and the direction of your life. You know why? Because God created us to thrive in community. God created us to be in community, to belong. We have to belong before we can become. Let me say that again. We have to belong before we can become. Whatever it is that we want to become, whatever it is that we want to grow, the way God's wired this thing to work with us is we have to belong, get connected to other people before we can become all that God has for us to become. So there's a verse that I've been thinking about where Jesus makes a promise related to community. It comes on the heels of an interaction he has with a nameless individual that the Bible just says was a rich young ruler. So we know the guy was wealthy, we know the guy was young, and we know the guy had power. Three things that were highly prized in Jesus' time and are obviously still highly prized today. And this guy comes to Jesus and basically says, I've got a lot going for me, but what must I do to experience the maximum life that God has for me, to experience the abundant life that God has for me? And Jesus kind of throws a fork out to this guy. He gives him some challenging words. He says, here's the one thing you lack. You need to give up all your wealth and come follow me, and then you'll have the fullness of life that you seek. And the story says that this rich young guy went away sad because he had so much wealth. You know what? Jesus didn't tell everybody to give up their money to follow him, but what Jesus was saying in this moment is true for all of us. Jesus knew what this guy prized above everything else in his life. And what Jesus was saying is, in order to experience the fullness of life that I have for you, you need to prize me above whatever it is that you are prizing in your life right now. I don't know if anybody's ever told you this. You have to give up stuff to follow Jesus. Maybe no pastor's ever told you that before. You have to give up stuff to follow Jesus. I want you to know that very clearly. And yet, on the heels of this interaction, where Jesus says this and the guy walks away because he can't give up the stuff, Jesus' disciples are reacting and they're saying, oh my goodness, well, what does this mean for us? And Peter, who was usually the first to speak among the disciples, says this in Mark 10:28. He says, see, we have left everything and followed you. Peter's like, so what's in it for us? We've left everything already. We already did that. And look at what Jesus says. Jesus says, truly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the gospel who will not receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions. Jesus is honest, with persecutions and in the age to come, eternal life. You know what Jesus was saying? Jesus was saying, hey, when you give up everything to follow me, what you get in return is so much greater than what you give up. And as it relates to relationships, Jesus says, hey, there is something about following me that needs to be accompanied by following me with others, that there's this community dynamic, that you get a multiplied family when you come into relationship with Jesus. I am convinced that the abundant life that the rich young ruler was looking for, and that I think all of us are looking for, is impossible to obtain in an individual faith. It can only be obtained when you prioritize relationships, when you prioritize being together. This is my story. I've seen this play out in my life practically. I know this to be true because I know it to be true for me. I mean, it was a men's group in my time at P&G when I was really struggling with performance and finding my worth in work. It was a men's group that led me to places of believing at a deeper level that my worth is not determined by the output that I have at work, but my worth is determined by my identity in Jesus. I learned that in community. That was the place where that was strengthened for me. My wife and I had the privilege of being a part of the launch of something called Building Blocks for Marriage. It's our pre-married class for folks who are getting married at Crossroads. There's some BBFM alumni up in here. I hear you. It's a great, great class. You know what? My wife and I didn't have Building Blocks for Marriage before we got married. So we had some gaps. And I tell you what, the first couple years of our marriage were rocky. It was like, is this thing going to work? Will we go the distance? And I can tell you, it was the Moores, it was the Savascos, it was the Myers, it was the Kellys. There were couples that came around us, built into us in our marriage. And honestly, when we celebrate every anniversary, I think about those people. Because I don't know that we would have gotten 14 years in if it wasn't for the community around our marriage. It was a group of guys that I walked through a recovery journey with every Thursday night here at Crossroads for 2.5 years to overcome an addiction. If it wasn't for that group of guys, that community, I would not be experiencing the hope and the freedom that I've experienced in that area. That came through community for me. And it's in community with a bunch of guys who want to be good dads that I am growing as a father, that I'm learning how to create rhythms and cultures in my family that actually are fun and exciting and will shape the trajectory of how my kids will raise their kids. That's happening for me in community. So I just know that the abundant life that Jesus promises is not possible outside of community. That's why we're focusing on together. That's why we want to fight for being together. It's also why pictures like this are really special to me. This is a picture that we took at my daughter's baby dedication. This was at the godparents' home where we had this. My wife and I have decided that when we dedicate our kids, which is basically just a spiritual exercise of saying, God, this child is a gift, and we're offering this child to you and trusting you to lead us on how to raise her. And we did that with all of our kids, and we did it in smaller context with our family. This is a family photo for me. It's a family photo even though I'm only DNA related to about 7 or 8 people in this picture. Because this is my family. The godparents of my kids, the Davenports, said to us when we had our first child, they said, we will be the godparents of your kids on one condition. We get to be the godparents for all of the kids that you have. We stopped at 3. They might be happy that we stopped at 3, but they've lived up to that, and they love our kids. They're like their kids, and it's just amazing to me. People in this picture are people who spoke identity over me when I was struggling with my identity at work. There are relationships in that picture that go back over a decade in my life. The person who sponsored me in recovery was the same man who led the dedication for my child. There are people in there that are a part of the Building Blocks for Marriage team and other married couples who pour into my family. And I just know that Jesus' promise is true. When I gave up Philadelphia and family and work at P&G to follow Jesus in the way that he called me to, I got more mothers, I got more fathers, I got more sisters, I got more brothers, I got more houses, I got more lands. And that only happens through relationship. It only happens when you trust and fight for together. So I want to just give you two reasons why we want to prioritize being together in this series, this year at Crossroads, and why you need to prioritize it in your life. And the first one should be pretty obvious. It's because we become better when we're together. I've grown in all of the areas that I've availed myself to community in. Every time I've availed myself to community, I grow. And it's true for all of us. And I think that's why when you look through the scriptures, you see over and over again that this priority of relationship, this priority of authentic community is something being heralded by the followers of Jesus and the writers of the Bible. One place is in Hebrews chapter 10 where it says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." This verse just says, hey, there are things that need to be spurred up in you. You need to be spurred up to forgive. You need to be spurred up to be generous. You need to be spurred up to love. You need to be spurred up to fight for marriage. You need to be spurred up to raise good kids. You need to be spurred up to do your best work, to create, to start that business. You need to be spurred up. And in community, you get better because it spurs up these kinds of things in your life. And I'm not the only person who's experienced that kind of community, the kind of community that spurs up love, that spurs up truth, and also makes grace a tangible thing. So let's watch Brandy's story of how she found a community that offered her unique grace.
The Special Needs Parents Group meets one Monday, the first Monday of the month. We meet from about 6:30 to 8:30, so it's really convenient for lots of parents who work. Child care is a necessity, so it's provided for us. I'm really thankful for that. My son was about 2.5, 3 years old, and we were going to a church, but it seemed like each Sunday was becoming more and more of a challenge. He couldn't sit still, he couldn't be quiet. I was bothered by that because I didn't know what was wrong with him and I didn't have a way to control it. As time went on, I noticed that it was bothering other people around us. And one day, a lady we happened to be sitting behind basically said, you know, I wish you would make your kid be quiet. I called my mom that weekend and I was like, Mom, I need to find a new church. I need a place where my son can go. So when I searched online for a church that had a children's ministry, Crossroads came up. I put them into a kids club and it was good for a little while. And it maybe was a year and a half later when he was finally diagnosed with autism and sensory processing disorder. In the bulletin one Sunday, I saw that there was a special needs parents group, and I thought, yes, 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 a community group that I can be a part of. Oh, wow, this is so awesome. And so I just started showing up one Monday. It's really just a group of people who get it. They understand my perspective and where I'm coming from and the struggles that I have to deal with my child. I don't have to explain to them why he's behaving in a certain way or acting out in a certain way because they already get it. And that gave me a sense of belonging that I didn't have before. It gave me a sense of community that I didn't have before. I didn't have anybody to talk to. Sometimes being a parent of a child who has special needs can be really isolating. When I ask them for support and they say that they're going to pray for me or they offer words of encouragement and words of support, I know and I believe that they're there for me. And it's helped me grow closer to God because he said, you know, I'm going to help you. You said that you needed some sense of belonging. So here's your sense of belonging. Why is life better together? Because life alone kind of sucks.
Wow. Well said. Somebody said in seminary, well said and worth saying. Man, that is so, so true. And I love how Brandy says, I found belonging. We all want that. We all desire that. And that's why community is so powerful. When we find belonging, we can become who it is that God has called us to become. And not only that, but the way that God works blows my mind. God uses our relationships to literally change the world. I don't know if you know that or not, but he does. He uses our relationships to change the world. Not only do we become better when we're together, but the world becomes better when we're together. If Andy Stanley would say that your friends determine the quality and the direction of your life, I would add to that that your friends determine the quality and the direction of your impact in this world. We're all people that God has created to have an impact in this world. And your friends determine the quality of that impact, and your friends determine the direction of that impact as well. And there's something that happens when people who have this common understanding of the grace that we've received in Jesus function in relationships with each other. There's something powerful that happens that begins to affect the world. I can think of tremendous movements in the world that ultimately boiled down to a community of people who said, together, we're going to be together on this. Even Jesus is an example of this. Jesus had a mission from God. He was God, and he had a mission from God to basically rescue all of us through his death and ultimately his resurrection. And isn't it interesting that Jesus, who I believe was fully God and fully man, he put himself in a position to avail himself to the power of authentic community, that he didn't just choose 12 followers just so they could replicate his mission after he left the earth. But I believe that during the time he was with the disciples in those 3 years, that he depended on them for community, that he relied on them for different things, that they built into him as much as he was building into them. I know that because at the end, when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's saying, hey, I need you guys with me. I need you with me now. So even God himself, and we look at the power of that community and how it's impacted the world, all of us are in that room because those 13 men got together. That's the power of our relationships. I also think about other heroes in my life. William Wilberforce, who in history is the reason why slavery was abolished in England. And that was a multi-decade effort as he was in Parliament trying to operate through the systems of government to bring about substantive change. And he did that over time. But in the midst of the struggle, he was a part of a small community that called themselves the Clapham Sect. And the Clapham Sect were a group of people who believed that what they believe about who God is and who Jesus is should affect their worldview and the way they do their work. And that was the group that encouraged him when times were dark. That was the group that celebrated the small victories along the way with him. That was the group that built into him relationally, that built into him spiritually. And it's because of that community saying, we're together on this, that he was able to carry out one of the most dramatic things that ever happened in the history of civilization: the abolition of slavery in the British Empire. It's also why when I think about Martin Luther King, who's another hero of mine, I recognize that King isn't King without the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. King isn't King without people like Abernathy and others who were around him that built into him, that kept him focused on mission, that built into him and encouraged him, corrected him, challenged him. We all need that. And the beautiful thing is our relationships, when we prioritize being together, not only can it change us, but it can literally change the world. It's why at Crossroads, we have been very intentional about how we do mission work around the world. When we get involved in some of the big problems around the world, we're very intentional about how we do it. We are going after big problems in South Africa. In South Africa, there's a community of people that have been ravaged by HIV and AIDS. You have a lot of head of households that are minor children because they've lost their parents to this epidemic. And because of that, the poverty that comes along with it, some of the crime that comes along with that, that's a country in need of additional support and resources. And there are two ways to go at that. One is throw money at that problem, to send money generously to organizations on the ground who are doing great work in South Africa, and there are plenty of them to support. Yet, we have chosen not only to send money, but to get in partnership and actually bring people to the table as well, not only because it increases the power of our partners on the ground, but quite frankly, we need our partner in South Africa, I think, more than they need us. We are in partnership with Grace Bible Church in South Africa. It's the largest church in South Africa. 40,000 people across the country are connected to Grace Bible Church. And in that partnership, God is growing us, changing us, encouraging us. And there's good news to report. Because if you were around for I'm In, we said one of the visions that we were dreaming with Grace Bible about is how do we bring the CityLink concept to an entrepreneurial environment in South Africa. And friends, on September 25th, we're dedicating the land for the Center of Hope. That is happening in South Africa. That is happening. think we've got some renderings of the drawings of what this is going to be. So think about in the same way that CityLink co-locates resources to help people move out of generational poverty, this is going to be a place where entrepreneurs in South Africa can get a co-located place where they can get access to training, to relationships, to resources, to even tools that they can actually use to start some of the businesses that they want to begin. And this is a joint venture, 50-50, where Crossroads is partnering with Grace Bible to make this happen. The exciting thing is we've been joined today by Bishop Moses Sono, the pastor of Grace Bible. So you're going to get to hear from him personally in a few minutes. I'm excited about that. So we're glad that he is here. You may or may not know that we're engaged in work in India. And the work that we're about in India is coming against the epidemic of girls who get trafficked into forced prostitution. And we want to come against that at every level with organizations to help rescue those girls. But more and more at Crossroads, we have built aftercare homes, which are places where those girls can go after their rescue to be rehabilitated and ultimately reintegrated into society. And again, you can throw money at that. There are great organizations that are doing work, anti-trafficking work in India, but we choose to do it in partnership because we grow through that partnership. Dozens and dozens of Crossroaders have been over to India, and I can tell you as one of them, you will not be the same after you've encountered the hope and the faith and the love that occupies and exists in the Indian church. When you get connected to people who are doing that kind of work, it changes the way you see God, it changes the way you see the world, changes the way you see people. And there's exciting things to report on India, because in India, we are rescuing girls, and literally girls are getting a new shot at life. If you were here for the I'm In campaign, there's a story that I know personally moved me deeply. It's the story of Anjali and her journey to freedom. Let's watch it again.
God is a person like our who changed me and who took me from those brothel and those bad places out. I'm very much thankful. Like if today my like I have dream. I know it was God who did, but it did through you. God used you, and you heard God's word. Like sometimes we even don't heard God and we disobey, but He heard and you cared. So I want to say all a thank you for me, and I'm your fruit. I'm your works. Maybe you had 100 rupees and you wanted to buy a chocolate, but you didn't buy and send maybe for me, and that saved my life, and like that your rupees, you know, didn't went in waste. That's me, that saved my soul, and I have now a life, like a destination and hope.
Well, join me in welcoming our awesome partners from 3 continents, 4 countries on the stage. So good to be with you guys. So first, let's just do some introductions. So why don't you go down the line and just tell folks name and what it is that you're leading.
Hi, I'm Don Jarrett. I work for you. I am in charge of the South Asia work that Crossroads does, and I'm living in Kathmandu, Nepal.
Awesome. Yes. Yeah. Welcome Don back, huh? Good to see him.
Hi, I'm Smita Rangwani, and I head an organization in Mumbai called Jeevan Aadhar. A lot of you have visited already. Mm-hmm. We provide aftercare services for women who are survivors of human trafficking and of child sexual abuse. We have 6 homes and 6 girls per home.
Hi, I'm Moses Sono, presiding bishop of Grace Bible Church. That picture that you saw there about the CityLink concept and that we've adopted and are going to build a center of hope, we've partnered with all of you there, and so very glad to be here with you today.
That's awesome. Great to have you guys here. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about relationships and being together, and you all have kind of at the macro and micro level seen this. So first, Don moved his family over to Kathmandu about a year ago. And a big part of why you chose to go to Kathmandu has to do with relationships. So just give us an update on the Jarretts, how you guys are doing, and what you're learning over there.
Well, we're doing great. We're living in community with Anjali and with a number of several dozen girls that have been rescued from red light areas in India and returned home to Nepal. What you might not realize is that Anjali is actually a Nepali national. We were talking about this earlier. For my family and I, it's sort of like we received a welcome into the same community and received the same welcome that Anjali did when she returned home. So we're living in community with some Brazilians who operate a partner called Apple of God's Eyes, and we're glad to be there and doing well.
That's awesome. And you have had some experiences, some learning. You talked about the way that the Brazilians operate that kind of connects to togetherness and family.
Mm-hmm. Well, Brazilians, from what I can see, are a party waiting to happen. pretty much all the time. And it's sort of like living in...
Do we have a Brazilian in here?
Do we have any Brazilians? We should go get some.
We should go get some. So we can have parties all the
Absolutely.
Time. I like it.
It's sort of like my big fat Greek wedding. You know, we have Nepali culture and we have Brazilian culture and to a growing extent American culture, and we eat together and we worship together and we live together and we support and help each other. And in some ways my family and I have adjusted into this community in the same way that Anjali and the other girls that have come home have been welcomed and introduced into the community. And so it's been a really beautiful thing.
That's awesome. So lot going on always in our India ministry. Give us an update. What are the kind of big focus areas for you guys right now?
Sure. So all of the things that we were doing post the Game Change campaign are all still going. We're still supporting IJM. Jeevan Adhar is the fruit of that, as is our relationship with Mahima Home and several other things. So we're still doing the aftercare with the idea that the key thing to do is reintegration of girls and assisting girls to have the trust to testify against traffickers so that trafficking can be deterred. In addition to that, through the I'm In campaign, we're doing a couple of things. Number one is we're targeting a major red light area to work to transform that neighborhood with the idea that the red light area is the profit center of trafficking. In other words, that's where the customers come in and vote with their money every single day that trafficking continue and that new and fresh faces be brought into the red light areas. So we're working with organizations like Freeset, yep. As well as Apple. We're working, for example, in the red light area where Freeset is. There's about 10,000 commercial sex workers in the infamous Sonogachi red light area. Mm-hmm. And it's estimated by Human Rights Watch that about 2,000 are Nepalis. So we want to bring them home. Yeah. And we also want to do some things and try some things that haven't ever been tried before to see if that neighborhood can be turned into a healthy, thriving neighborhood that's free of the exploitation and oppression that comes with red light areas.
Yes, so. Yes. So great work going on. And actually, just talk a little bit about Anjali. She has a purpose. You talked about that. I have a destination, but it's powerful to talk about what that is for her. What does that mean for her?
Well, what you see on that video, that's how Anjali is. She's just a joyful person, and she's been transformed. When she says, I have a purpose and a destination, or when you saw Priya in that video, if you've watched the video online or were here for the campaign, they talk about this purpose and destination, but it's not a purpose and destination that's just for me, of what I'm going to get and what I'm going to have. It's the idea that I'm going to be part of a solution for my sisters who are still there. And so we see in Anjali's life this desire to bring about change and become part of the solution. So it's really going even beyond reintegration so that survivors themselves are now becoming part of the solution. Mm-hmm. And that's powerful.
It's a powerful, powerful thing. And rooted in that is what happens in the home, right? So talk about relationship and the power of relationship to even get an Anjali to a place where she can be a force for change.
Right. So I had the opportunity to actually meet Anjali when I visited Nepal. And to just begin with, India is a very communal culture. We have we live in societies. We do everything together. I mean, there is hardly anyone that you would find who lives in isolation. Mm-hmm. Everything we do is together. Mm-hmm. But when I visited Nepal, I was received at the airport with this huge warm welcome with a big banner that said, "Welcome to Nepal, Smita Rangwani." And, you know, people waiting with garlands and all that stuff.
Sort of like the welcome you received here at the airport. It's Cincinnati.
No? So we've been putting the call out for every service, the Long Arm of Crossroads. If anybody has a garland that you just happen to bring in with you, bring it on up. We want to make sure Smita feels welcome.
No, I did feel welcome enough here as well, but that was different. And so we are basically a baby organization. We are only 3 years old. But we are constantly learning and trying to improvise things and do things differently that would be helpful for the girls. And so what I learned from the Brazilians is that they throw a welcome party for each and every girl that comes to their home, which was incredible, which was like something we never did. And I kind of stole that idea from them. And so when I went back to Jeevan Aadhaar, I spoke to the staff and we said, let's do welcome parties for each and every girl who would be part of JA.
In fact, you had a moment of repentance. Like this was a powerful discovery that you had.
Absolutely. And I regretted that. Why didn't this, you know, come to my mind? I mean, it was just a small thing that we had to add to our program, but it made a huge difference. So last month, we had a new girl come to Jeevan Aadhaar, and we threw her a welcome party. I think there are a few pictures up there. Mm-hmm. And the girl felt so welcomed, and she was totally, totally engaged. Can you see that picture? That's like everyone having fun right there. So she felt totally engaged, and in this kind of work, especially aftercare, it is extremely crucial to get the girl engaged with the program as soon as possible so that whatever we have to offer to her, she receives it, and she is then on that journey to be successfully reintegrated. So I think this particular girl, the new girl, was so happy. She immediately started connecting with the girls from the other homes and the staff, and that is very helpful to us when we are walking them through from that end to it being successfully reintegrated.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the power of relationships really shows up.
Absolutely.
in your environment every day. And Bishop Mosa, you have a unique perspective, I think, on relationships because of the cultural background of South Africa. So you grew up in apartheid. You grew up where the government policy was separation. So talk about what that did, how that degraded the idea of the power of connectedness and togetherness, and how you've really been very intentional at Grace Bible about kind of reintegrating people to that idea that we have to be together.
Yes, you know, the core of apartheid, you know, the word apartheid is an Afrikaans word, meaning keeping things apart or keeping people apart. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, under apartheid, you keep people apart based on the color of the skin. You keep them apart based on their economic status, education, ethnicity, even language, you know. Mm-hmm. And so South Africa, you have this people in one country, but so divided, so far apart from one another. Even in the same community, people not understanding. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm married to my wife, she is Tswana, mm-hmm. I'm Tsonga. Mm-hmm. But you find under apartheid, we never even used to communicate. So we are very intentional in the church to create small groups. We call them cell groups, mm-hmm. wherein people can come and be with one another and be involved in conversing with one another and talking to each other. Mm-hmm. And as a group, being able to educate one another about the world, their realities. And what you find through that is that, you know, people all over the world are the same. Mm-hmm. People care about the same thing. People are heard about the same thing. People struggle around the same things. And so we've made that as part of the church and as part of what people go through. And once people find a sense of belonging, then they're able to deal with their issues much more differently and to connect with people in a much more meaningful way. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, when you come to a place like a church, you know, wherein you have thousands of people gather, people can feel so alone, mm-hmm. so disconnected, you know. But when you bring them into these smaller groups, then people feel like this is a home, this is a place where I can be. So we've structured the cell groups to be able to deal with that, and that's been very, very helpful in terms of bringing people together in the sense of community. Yeah.
When you shared a saying from your culture that kind of speaks to this deep need for belonging.
Yes.
Just share that again. I think it's great.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to learn some Sotho, so this is part of it. I'm trying to get my practice in. So.
Well, I'm trying to teach him Sotho. Maybe you can. You know, in Sotho, we have 11 languages in South Africa, and one of them is Sotho. Mm-hmm. And we have all these lovely idioms about being together and being a family. We have a saying that says, Motu. Ki Motu. Kabatu Baba. Yes. You want to try that?
Mutu. Kimutu. Kabata Maba.
That's not bad.
Close, right? Close. I'm getting there. I got one more service.
And what it actually means is that you can never reach your full potential as a human being without other people.
Yeah.
What makes me who I am is because you are involved in my life. Mm-hmm. And so my involvement with you brings out the best that God has in me. And, you know, we try to do that because, you know, the strength of apartheid was to dehumanize people, take the humanness out of them, deprive them of them reaching their full potential. And so, you know, when we do the cell groups, it's very helpful. One of the other things is, I'm sure you are aware, in South Africa, we've got so many racial tensions that have been there. Things that, you know, even in America here, we see it on television.
Yeah.
And I think when people start conversing together and talking together, it goes a very, very long way in dealing with those issues and easing those tensions.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And we need to hear that in our country right now in a big, big way, as so many people do. The cool thing for me about your cell groups is this isn't just something that's like, hey, we need all of these people, the people that are following us to do that. You're in a cell group.
Yes.
Senior pastor, large church, national influence. Talk about how your cell group is critical to your own spiritual life and relationship with God.
You know, when you are a pastor, people think that you don't go through the same problems as them because maybe somehow God favors you in a special way. Right. You don't have problems in your marriage. You don't have problems with your children or your health and all of that. So in a cell group, people get to meet you as a regular, ordinary person with the same problems as them. Mm-hmm. One thing it does, it encourages them to understand that, you know, we all go through problems. Yeah. Secondly, I can learn from them. They can learn from me. Thirdly, you get support from people, you know, because sometimes you are on the same path, same journey, and you can be able to resource from the experience of other people. And as well, I get a chance for a while there not to be this person that people come to for answers.
Yeah.
They can give me answers.
Mm-hmm.
I also can maybe not talk about the Bible for a change and maybe talk about football and tennis and just be human.
Right.
And so in a cell group, this is where it's like the mask comes off, you know, in a way. You just become a real normal person. And really, that's what we are as believers, just real, normal, regular people with challenges and problems. But through the involvement of other people in our lives, it just helps us to get further more in life. And that's what a cell group is about for
that's
us.
That's awesome. That's so good. And you talk a lot about this is not just what your church does. Cell groups are who your church is.
That's what we do. What
yeah.
Who we are.
Yeah. So, Smita, talk about relationship for you. Again, the work that you do, high highs, but also low lows, lots of challenges. So how is relationship a part of your personal health and connection and kind of staying energetic for the work that you do?
Right. Very good question. You're right about the high highs. Being in this role is extremely rewarding. And you're also correct about the challenges that we face, the challenges that I face on a day-to-day basis. And there are times where I feel like I have come to an end of myself, or I don't have the answer to this, or I don't know how to resolve this. And those are the times that I depend on people around me, people whom God has placed in my life strategically, mm-hmm. in my personal life, at work. But I have to confess that I do a lot of shopping for de-stressing myself. And all the volunteers that have been on India trip know this, that, yes, thank you very much, know this, that shopping is extremely therapeutic for women, and I highly recommend it.
Somebody's like, I'm so glad I came to church today just to hear that, right?
I hope my wife's not watching right now.
Apart from that, I go out for movies, with my friends, with family. I go out to the beach. And then again, Jeevan Aadhar in itself is one big family.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We do a lot of retreats when the volunteers come over. We do picnics. We do, I'm sure we have some pictures here, or have
here
you?
Here we go.
Or,
yep.
Yeah.
We little exercise together?
Less of that. And more of parties. Yeah, that's the one. So apart from that, I also attend a care cell every Wednesday, which gives me the spiritual feeling that I need. And on and all, the girls, the staff, the volunteers that come from here, we have a real good time. And that is extremely helpful for me because all the counselors here know that we tend to face what is called as secondary trauma.
Yeah.
And so all these activities, the recreational activities, are extremely helpful. Mm-hmm. So for all those who want to experience this, I would like to welcome you to the big Nepal trip that's happening May 2017. And all the other trips that are scheduled for India and also to South Africa.
Yes, I think we have a link that's coming up. But yeah, you can sign up for trips and actually experience partnership and relationship. I mean, the folks who have gone to India and South Africa have been deeply changed and tremendous blessing by those relationships. So as we go down the line here, final thought from you guys, what makes or breaks the work that you do? I mean, you're on the front lines, you're doing unique ministry, God's called you to unique things. What makes or breaks the work that you do, Don?
I think for me, it's always been, whether I was at IJM or where I am now, being part of a cohesive team of people who are who have your back, who really have your back. And those groups don't come along quickly and easily. You have to look for them. You have to help build them. You have to be the kind of person who can, or become the kind of person who can be in that. I look at the girls in Kathmandu, and every one of them can tell you what their dream is, mm-hmm. because they've been changed. Mm-hmm. And I guess as we've been doing this, the talk over these mornings that I feel like, you know what, I bet I've been changed too, mm-hmm. as a result of being around that.
Yeah. That's
good. I think for me, it's partnership or relationships, be it personal or professional, because I think that particular aspect is in my hand, whom I want to hang around with, whom I want to associate myself with, or who should be the partner for Jeevan Aadhar. And that is eventually going to impact my personal well-being and also the well-being of the organization, and most importantly, the growth. Am I growing being around this set of people or this community or this? So I think for me, it's going to be definitely going to be partnership and relationships.
Mm-hmm. Well, for me, you know, when we connect in these small groups, in the cell groups, in a very meaningful way, but also go further to pray together. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot about praying together that takes you further down the road, helps you with the challenges and problems that you face. Mm-hmm. You get so involved with one another because you kind of share the problems together, bring them before God, and see how God takes you, you know, further in your road and strengthens you regardless of the things that you go through. Mm-hmm. So we keep that prayer as a group of people who meet together as one of the major things that we get involved in.
Absolutely. Absolutely, and we're taking that page here at Crossroads. You saw in your program, if you've looked at it, that we're going to do a week of prayer and fasting. It's coming up starting August 13th and 14th because of the power of prayer in community, that there are things that we want to see happen in our city, in our world, in our own lives that just don't happen if we don't come together and pray. And so one of the things I'd love to do is pray for you guys, to pray for the work that you're called
to,
and just for continued fruit in the relationship that we have with each other. So God, I thank you so much for this opportunity to just connect with folks who live in different cultures, and yet we are united in our relationship with Jesus. And because of that, I have more brothers and more sisters on this stage. And so I thank you for that, God. And God, I just want to pray a special blessing in your grace over the work at Grace Bible Church, the things that you are calling them to step into, even at the national level in their country, to lead things that need to be led in society. God, I pray that you would bless and gift them for the places that you're taking them, God. I pray for Jeevan Aadhar. I pray for Smita and her team. I pray that you would continue to give them opportunities to experience miracles and to experience deep connection in the work that they do and the joy of seeing girls reintegrated on the other side. I pray for Don, and I pray for his family and the work of Apple of God's Eye that they're a part of in Kathmandu. And I just pray that this would be a year of fruit. This would be a year of breakthrough, breaking down walls and establishing beachheads that look like the kingdom of God. Thank you for the partnerships reflected and connected in this stage right now. We bless you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's thank these guys for being with
thank
us.
Thank you. Thank you, Don.
So guys, in this series, let's fight for together. Let's fight for together. I want you to be thinking about, what does this look like for you? A couple things before we leave today. One,
Who's making you better right now? Who's growing you spiritually? Who's building into you so that you can be all that God has called you to be? I want you to think about that. And over the course of this series, maybe there are relationships you'll clearly see you need to invest in. New relationships or existing relationships, then you go to a new place. And then also think about your friends around you. Are they positively or negatively determining the quality and direction of your impact? There might be some relationships you need to divest. And you might see that in the midst of this series. Whatever that looks like for all of us, we're in different places. I hope that at the end of this series, there's a clear picture you have of what God wants relationships to look like in your life, wherever you are in your spiritual journey. And I pray that a big part of that is what happens in and through groups and relationships you're a part of here at Crossroads. It's going to be a great series. Come back every week and let's be together. We'll see you guys next week.